Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. As we said, Ezekiel was another prophet that God used to warn modern-day Israel, that is, the United States and the British people, of what lies ahead for our people if we don't repent. And God warns us time after time how to prepare self individually and our nation to avoid the calamity that's just around the corner. I want to go over Ezekiel 6, beginning in verse 1 through verse 7 again, for it is so very important to understand. Notice what God had to say here. And this was penned, my friend, 130 years at least after Israel had already gone into captivity. Notice in verse 1, Ezekiel 6, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face toward the mountains of Israel," that is, the nations of Israel, "and prophesy against them, and say, O mountains, or nations of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the nations, to the hills, to the ravines, and to the valleys. Indeed, I, even I, will bring a sword against you, and I will destroy your high places," meaning whatever we put our trust in. "Then your altars shall be desolate, your incense altars shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols, and I will lay the corpses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones all around your altars. In all your dwelling places the cities shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, so that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate. Your idols may be broken and made to cease. Your incense altars may be cut down, and your works may be abolished." Notice that verse 6 again, and I want you to remember that this was penned 130 years after Israel had already gone into captivity for the final time, back in 732 through 718 B.C. Verse 6, "And all your dwelling places, the cities, shall be laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate." God says this is going to happen. This is a future prophecy that we're reading about here. "So that your altars may be laid waste and made desolate, your idols may be broken and made to cease, your incense altars may be cut down, and your works may be abolished." Verse 7, "The slain shall fall in your midst, and you shall know that I am the Eternal." Well, does our nation, does the world know who God is today? Do they know the true God today? Do you know the true God today? Verse 8, God says, "I will leave a remnant so that you may have some who escape the sword among the nations when you are scattered through the countries." Now notice, God said, "when you are scattered through the countries," has to be a future prophecy, because Israel was already scattered through the countries when this was penned. Yes, Israel was already scattered at that time. "Then those of you who escape will remember me among the nations where they are carried captive, because I was crushed by their adulterous heart, which has departed from me, and by their eyes, which play the harlot after their idols. They will loathe themselves for the evils which they committed in their abominations, and they shall know that I am the Eternal, and that I have not said in vain that I would bring this calamity on them." Yes, God says there's coming a time of Israel, that's what's left of Israel, will know that He is the Eternal. "Thus says the Lord God," in verse 11, "Pound your fists and stamp your feet and say, Alas, for all the evil abominations, or all the evil of the sins of the house of Israel, for they shall fall by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence." God isn't saying they had fallen 130 years before this was penned, but they will fall, a future prophecy. And you need to perk up your ears and listen to this and begin to prepare to escape this terrible time, the most terrible time in human history that has or that will ever come upon this earth. Verse 12, "He who is far off shall die by the pestilence, he who is near shall fall by the sword, and he who remains and is besieged shall die by the famine. Thus I will spend my fury upon them. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when their slain men are among their idols, all around their altars, on every high hill, on all the mountaintops, under every green tree, and under every thick oak, wherever they offered sweet incense to all their idols. So I will stretch out my hand against them and make the land desolate, yes, more desolate than the wilderness toward Diablo, in all their habitations, then they shall know that I am the Lord. Yes, God says there's coming a time when we're going to know that He is the Lord, but it's only going to be, according to God's Word, after we have gone through the most terrible time in human history. We won't learn until we have to learn. Verse 12, God continues here. He says, listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, who are far from righteousness. Yes, God commands us to listen and change our way if we want to prepare for the evil time just ahead. Verse 13, I bring my righteousness near. It shall not be far. My salvation shall not linger. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Yes, it's a future time under the reign of Christ. Notice a future prophecy here in Isaiah 45, verses 21 through 25. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient times? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Eternal? And there is no other God beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. He shall say, surely the Lord, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. In the Lord all the descendants of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. God is speaking of a future time after Christ has established His throne and His kingdom on this earth, and Israel has gone through the most terrible time of human history and have learned that going against God's way doesn't pay. Our ancestors, ancient Israel, didn't listen to God. 2 Kings 17 tells us why they were taken captive. Notice what God has to say in 2 Kings Chapter 17, beginning in verse 13. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all of his prophets, namely every seer, saying, turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants the prophet. Nevertheless, they would not hear, but stiffened their necks like the necks of their fathers and did not believe in the Lord their God. God says ancient Israel didn't listen, and God says modern-day Israel isn't going to listen either. So God is saying that you will leave His commandment if you don't believe in God. Notice what verse 14 says, nevertheless, they would not hear but stiffened their necks like the necks of their fathers who did not believe in the Lord their God. As I said, God is saying that you will leave His commandments if you don't believe in God, and that is believe in obeying God. There's no other course that you can take. So they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, made for themselves a molten image and two calves, made a wooden image and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served Baal. Therefore the Lord was very angry with Israel and moved them from his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. Now God says this has already happened, and God says it's going to happen again unless we turn and repent. Notice verse 34 through verses 41. To this day they continue practicing the former rituals. They do not fear the Lord, nor do they follow their statutes of their ordinances, or the law and the commandment which the Lord had commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, you shall not fear other gods, nor bow down to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Lord, who brought you up from the land of Egypt with great power and an outstretched arm, him you shall fear, him you shall worship, and to him you shall offer sacrifice. And the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandments which he wrote for you, you shall be careful to observe forever. You shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I made with you, you shall not forget, nor shall you fear other gods. God has given us a warning here. Don't forget the covenant that He made with us and that you make with God when you're baptized. But the Lord your God you shall fear, and He will deliver you from the hand of all your enemies. Now wouldn't that be great today if we had God on our side and that He would deliver us from the hand of all of our enemies? Verse 40, however, they did not obey, but they followed their former rituals. Well, where do you stand today? Where do you think our nation stands? Are you with God? That is, are you willing to obey? Or are you against God by not being willing to obey? God warns us over and over what will befall our people in this end time unless we repent of breaking God's law and ignoring His word and begin to obey God. He tells us time after time how to be prepared and be protected in and through this most terrible time of human history. Will you heed? Will you repent? Will you change? Will you begin to obey God? You will wish you had, my friends, if you don't. We invite you to call us toll-free and request our free literature, Predestination, Does the Bible Teach It? You may have wondered at times, has your ultimate fate been decided for you in advance? And if you want to know, and if you're in doubt about this, just call us toll-free at 1-800-611-8080 and request your free booklet, Predestination, Does the Bible Teach It? And request your free article, What Do You Mean, Repent? You need to read both of these booklets. So call us toll-free at 1-800-611-8080. Thanks for listening. This is Pete Hornbuckle inviting you to continue to listen to the Way It Ought to Be program.